Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old trees and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest and I've felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You are either going to love this, or your head's going to explode, or both. This is Wretched Radio, KKLA. It is a Christian radio station in Los Angeles, California. Several high-profile preachers are on there, including one Alistair Begg. We like Alistair Begg, and that is why we were very excited to see a debate happening at the Reagan Presidential Library, hosted by radio talk show host on the Salem Network, Hugh Hewitt, with Dennis Prager, also on Salem Radio. Ask a Jew, ask a Gentile. That was the premise. Hugh is the moderator. And this is so wonderful and frustrating to watch all at the same time. What's wonderful? Alistair Begg. Oh, he's like a Scottish dog on a bone. That was maybe my Swedish accent. I can't keep the two countries straight.
No,
apparently.
One can.
No, I think
he's like
was
a Scotty. Yeah, a West like Highland Terrier.
Lady and the Tramp. You were about as accurate as that Scotty's Scottish accent.
Well, you've got kids still in that age. It's been a while for me to know if that is a true statement.
No,
or
I don't
not.
Make so my kids watch that.
I will trust you on that. And the frustrating side was Dennis Prager just breaking our hearts. Every evangelical loves Dennis Prager. When he speaks on social issues, political issues, his insights, his demeanor, so powerful. And yet when he talks theology, he can just make you bonkers. Here is Dennis Prager with his opening comments at Ask a Jew, Ask a Gentile.
I don't have an issue with people who believe Jesus the Messiah. The Jewish issue has never been the messianic issue. Jews have believed that various Jews at different times have been the Messiah. They've never created or been ostracized. They've never created a different movement or a different religion or been ostracized. The issue for Jews was the divinity claim that Christianity made, not the messianic claim. If the only claim people made about Jesus was he's the Jewish Messiah, then they would have been Jews for Jesus, literally. Jews who believed in Jesus as the Messiah. It's the Trinitarian and divinity claims that caused the creation of a second religion.
Well, yes, it's not really a second religion per se, but Dennis Prager basically saying, look, if you guys didn't say that Jesus was God, I got no problem with him being the Messiah. Here's the problem. On the left side of the book, which Dennis adheres to, that book claimed that the Messiah would be divine. Where do you get that from, Todd? Well, I'm opening up my Bible to Isaiah and chapter 52 and chapter 53. This is the gospel that was preached 700 years before Jesus Christ was born, describing exactly what this Messiah would be like, and it includes claims of divinity. It starts in chapter 52 and verse 13, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently." All right? So the servant is going to be a man. The verse continues, "He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." That's no normal man. That's a special kind of man. It goes on to describe the marring of this fellow. Of course, it gets into chapter 53. He was despised and rejected, bruised, crushed, smitten, afflicted. He was ground to powder, so disfigured you couldn't tell that he was a human being. He was taken from prison and from judgment, for he was cut off from the land of the living, and they made his grave with the wicked, prediction after prediction after prediction fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Verse 10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him and put him to grief." When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and he shall prolong his days. What? How can you die, be cut off, and yet see your seed? The only way that can happen is if you are divine and you are eternal. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. So he dies and gets an inheritance. He gets the spoils of his victory. These are claims of eternality. These are claims of divinity. Furthermore, when you go to the New Testament, Jesus himself made those claims. So when Dennis states, I don't have a problem with Messiah Jesus, as long as you don't say that he was divine, then you don't understand what Messiah Jesus taught, that he is indeed divine. I am. I am the door. I am the bread. I am the living. Before Abraham was, I am. All statements of divinity, equating himself with God. The Father and I are one. And so I'm afraid, with all due respect to Dennis, whom I truly like, I'm not buying his tale, because he doesn't understand, apparently, what Jesus actually said about himself. And I don't see Dennis actually living out what he's claiming. If he believes, then, that Jesus is the Messiah, it's just the divine part, then he should just say to us Christians, look, I just don't buy your divinity claims, but thumbs up on the Messiah business. But he doesn't do that. Here's where it starts to get good. Alistair Begg responding to Dennis Prager, and you are going to notice something in this presentation, Ask a Jew, Ask a Gentile. There could be all kinds of questions that get asked, but where does Alistair Begg, like a Scottish dog on a bone, keep the subject on Jesus Christ?
Well, you know, when you read the gospel records and you see the reaction of the Jew to the claims of Jesus, and the disappointment that they felt, the clearer he became, it would seem that they anticipated that when the Messiah came, everything, as Dennis says, would be put to rights. So the oppression, for example, of the Roman authorities would be taken care of. They would be established in their own land, if you like. They would be secure and so on. And so that expectation, which I don't think was the right expectation, was not met in Jesus.
He begins with Jesus, he talks about Jesus some more, and then he ends with Jesus.
When John the Baptist steps forward, he says of this man, this Galilean carpenter, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So that the expectation of Judaism into the very heart of the Pentateuch is that in this sacrificial system, there will eventually be a sacrifice that out-sacrifices all the previous sacrifices. And Jesus steps forward and he says, I actually am that one. The reaction, of course, on the part of those who heard him speak was to crucify him.
I hate to be critical of Alistair Begg, but his Scottish accent is terrible.
So fake.
Nevertheless, he is not going to relent despite everything that Dennis Prager says. Alistair Begg just keeps banging away. Prepare for some heartache from Dennis Prager.
I believe that God wants the world to come to Mount Sinai. So to me, I have long ago believed that Jesus was the vehicle of my God, the God of Sinai, to bring the world to Sinai. The Jews, as it were, needed help. We haven't done a great job bringing the world to Sinai.
But Jesus did. Completely backwards. Jesus doesn't bring people to Sinai. Sinai brings people to Jesus. The laws are a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Christ isn't a schoolmaster to bring us to the laws. The laws are a mirror, a curb, and a guide. The laws don't save. The laws condemn. As you're going to hear, Dennis Prager, he is a big fan of the laws of Moses. Why were they given? To silence the mouth, to bring the whole world guilty before God. The laws were not given to save. The laws were given to demonstrate we need saving. Then when we get saved, the laws kick in. Think for a moment, if you will, about the Exodus, which I am sure Dennis Prager believes actually happened. Which came first, deliverance or the laws? God redeemed, he rescued his people out of Egypt, then he gives the laws. That's the order of affairs. We are rescued, then we do good. We can't do good before we are saved. Nobody does good. No, not one. Alistair Begg, I'm telling you, this guy, whatever they put in his Scottish coffee, it just kept him so focused.
I would actually challenge what he has just said, that the purpose of the Bible as it unfolds is clearly not for the world to be brought to Sinai, but for the world to be brought to Christ.
Amen.
And that the temple in Jerusalem, which represented both the presence of God and the ongoing plans of God, is no longer the place to which men and women are coming. Because Jesus infuriated the Jewish people of his day by announcing to them, you know, you could tear down this temple and in 3 days it will be built again. And they said, it's taken so long to build a temple. He said, but you don't understand. I am the temple.
Beautiful. More Prager versus Big next on Wretched Radio. I wonder what Dr. John MacArthur is talking about.
If you're going to support mission training, training of pastors, you've got to find people who are training men biblically to be theologians, to be Bible expositors, to be shepherds of their flock, to pour their lives into their sheep. This is the biblical pattern.
Going to go out on a limb here and suggest Dr. John MacArthur is talking about one of his ministries, the Masters Academy International. Seminary graduates from the Master's Sem internationally training pastors to be expositors, upholding the inerrancy of the Bible. If you've been looking for a missionary opportunity that has ripples of impact, you cannot do better than the Master's Academy International. Please learn more and potentially consider supporting the Master's Academy International at wretched.org/pastor.
Thank you for listening to Wretched Radio today. We always appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day with us. Might I ask for your support in two ways? First, we would truly appreciate if you would remember us in your prayers. And secondly, if you're financially able to partner with us to preach the gospel, equip others to preach and defend the gospel, and to strengthen the local church by becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner, giving a tax-deductible gift to us on a monthly basis. Not only do our gospel partners allow us to, well, keep the lights on here, their generosity also enables us to give more away. So the more you give, the more we can give away. Wretched.org/donate has all the details on how you can join us as a Wretched monthly gospel partner. Wretched.org/donate. And if you're able, partner with us as we share the gospel with millions around the world. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
If you happen to be a Tomorrow Club sponsor, this is going to thrill your heart. This is Cindy Marty, one of the leaders of the Tomorrow Clubs with her husband Paul, sharing a story of the impact of a Tomorrow Club kids Bible clubs meeting weekly in Eastern Europe. The story of a young man named
Arzenia. Literally, he was like a street rat. He repented, came to know Christ, and then he became like a helper in his Tomorrow Club. Then he became a leader of his Tomorrow Club and a director. And now today, he's directing about 40 clubs.
The impact of the gospel in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider becoming a sponsor of a Tomorrow Club? $30 per month will disciple 30 kids like Arzenia. They're getting saved. The churches are getting revitalized for $30 a month. Please consider becoming a sponsor at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The book of Daniel is about one man who submits to God above all else and God's faithfulness to his people in all circumstances. Daniel's prophetic visions teach us that God raises up and tears down kingdoms. All earthly kingdoms will pass away, but God will establish an everlasting kingdom.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you are going to have a conversation with a Jew or anybody else, there should be one name that is left ringing in their ears. This is Wretched Radio. In evangelism, theological conversations with people who don't believe, when the conversation is ended and all is said and done, they should be hearing one name echoing in their noggin, Jesus Christ. Alistair Begg, in a very civil discussion with Orthodox Jew Dennis Prager, hosted by Hugh Hewitt at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library, hosted by KKLA. Whew, that's a lot of names. Alistair Begg continued to focus on Jesus Christ. Dennis Prager, he truly breaks my heart because he's so likable and he's so wrong. And you're going to hear actually something that's even worse than being wrong from Dennis Prager. He keeps holding on to, I love Mount Sinai. I love the laws. I love that Moses. I love God. Alistair Begg responded.
Jesus challenged the Jewish people of his day when he said to him, if you believed Moses, you would actually believe me. And so for somebody like Dennis to say, you know, I'm the Moses man, and therefore, then Jesus would say to Dennis what he said to the Jews of his day, if you really believed Moses, you would believe me.
That is beautiful. If the Pharisees had really believed and understood Moses, they would say, our Messiah has come. He's the fulfillment of the law. He is the Lamb of God. He is the one that the sacrificial system pointed to. He is the one who is tabernacling among us. He's the real tabernacle. The fuzzy existed in the old. We have the technicolor reality right in our midst. But they didn't really believe in Moses, so they didn't believe in Jesus. The same thing could be said of Dennis Prager. If you really understand Moses, you would believe that the greater Moses, who was promised, is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Dennis Prager, not having any of it.
I never claimed there's no differences. If there were no differences, we would both be either Jewish or Christian. The issue to me is the differences are more significant to Christians than they are to me. I admit it. I don't really care. I am not a theology fan. I am a morality and God fan.
Here's the problem. That statement is a theological statement. When you say I'm a morality and God man, congratulations, you've just entered into the realm of theology. But Dennis Prager is saying things like that because he's not concerned about the theological issues of Jesus Christ. Those epistles from Paul, he has very little interest. Why? Doesn't need Jesus in his mind. Doesn't need the epistles. Why? He loves morality. He loves the laws. He is going to earn his way to God. That is Dennis's plan. And frankly, he thinks that he is going to accomplish it. He believes that people are good enough. Now, here's some irony. He talks about morals. He talks about people basically being good and they can earn their way there. How good do you have to be? You see, Dennis has a tendency to compare himself to others when the reality is we need to compare ourselves to God himself.
I judge, as Jesus said, I believe it's Jesus, I judge by fruit. I don't have Mormon theology. I tremendously admire Mormons. They have produced a beautiful family life. I have asked people over and over, if you had to have a business deal and you knew nothing about the person and you knew that they could ruin you if they were dishonest, would you want an X, a Y, a Z, or a Mormon? And how often people say, I would rather do the business deal with a Mormon, having no theological consistency with that person. That is all I care about. That, to me, true religion is religion that makes good people who are God-fearing keep the Ten Commandments and the like. That's what true religion is to me.
Here's the rub. You can't keep them. That's the problem. Alistair Begg, He's not going to let that one go.
I drove up here with a gentleman in the early hours of this morning who picked me up from LAX. And we weren't in the car very long before he announced to me that he was a Muslim. And he said, I want you to tell me about Jesus. I said, why would I tell you about Jesus? He said, I Googled your name. So, so I did my best. And eventually we had to come to the same point of departure. We have to come to terms with the identity of Jesus of Nazareth. If he is the person he claimed to be, the Son of God, then we've got a discussion. If he's not, then sure, externalism, morality, good deeds, trying to make the place as good as we can for as long as we can, all of that works. But all of that can happen without religion as well as with religion.
The issue is Jesus. And Alistair Begg continued to bring it back to that subject. He continued to bat down the idea that the laws were intended to save. Instead, we have a savior because we need a savior.
If, in fact, C.S. Lewis is right, that Jesus is either liar, lunatic, or Lord, he is manifestly not a liar given the accounts that we can rely on. So that's either lunatic or Lord. What if he's a lunatic? Do we revert to Judaism?
Yes, that would have to be our default position, because we are founded on the Judaism.
Well, that interesting question. If Jesus is a lunatic, but he's not, and so we don't. And so the conversation again came back to the same subject over and over again. Can we be good enough to get to heaven?
So I believe that the kind pagan has a better hereafter than the evil Jew, evil believing Jew, or evil believing Christian. Do you or not?
No, I don't believe that.
So an evil Christian has a better hereafter than a kind non-Christian.
No, I don't believe that. Religion essentially says, do good things and God will accept you. Christianity says, you could never do enough good things. You are accepted in Jesus. Therefore, do good things. So from the one perspective, the good things are the basis of acceptance. From the teaching of the New Testament, the good things are an evidence of the fact of your acceptance, that you have actually embraced the free gift which is on offer to us in and through the work of Jesus.
Dennis Prager's not budging, but somebody in that crowd sure could get saved. Dennis Prager continued to cling to his moralistic and, dare I say, self-righteous position.
We're all sinners is unhelpful. That's like saying we all get sick, but we're not all sick. Everyone gets the flu. Everyone gets a cold, but not everybody gets cancer. Oh. There's a big difference between cancer and a cold.
Okay. I don't know about you, but okay, the analogy is bad. But what did Jesus say? I didn't come for those who are at least thinking they're healthy. I came for the sick. I think Jesus might have an issue with this analogy.
Flu. So, yes, none of us is perfectly healthy, but everybody in this room knows that some people are much healthier than others. All of us are sinners, but some people are much greater sinners than others. A concentration camp guard who tortured people to death is not the same as the guy who took a stapler from the office.
Lord, I thank you that I'm not like that guard in Auschwitz. That's what you're hearing. And so as likable as Dennis Prager is, he is clinging to his own goodness. Alistair Begg, once again, countering.
When the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, it's not actually, it's saying that we are in an equal condition before God in terms of our alienation. It doesn't mean that we have all expressed the gravity of that to the same extent as others have. But what it does mean is that the person who has fouled up horribly may also be the beneficiary of the grace that is extended to us in and through the same work of this Galilean carpenter
if
who dies.
If he changes his behavior.
No, if the change in behavior will then flow from...
Right, but if he doesn't have a change of behavior, would you say he really hasn't accepted Christ?
Yes.
That's all the point I'm making.
Yeah.
You emphasize works just as much as I do.
No, certainly not. Works as a result of salvation is radically different than works causing your salvation. It's just the cart before the horse here. Which comes first, good deeds or salvation? And the laws make it clear. You aren't good. That's the whole purpose of the law. And yet Dennis Prager clings to the laws because Dennis Prager thinks he can keep them and that he will be acceptable to God. Zoinks, Scoob. This is Wretched Radio.
Lexicon. Pneumatology is a study of the Holy Spirit. Scripture reveals that the Holy Spirit is a person, not a force or manifestation, and he is God, the third member of the Trinity. His work is not to provide emotional highs or show up in glory clouds or gold dust. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bear witness to the Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hoy, and you thought Bonnie Tyler had a heartache. This is Wretched Radio. Listening to Dennis Prager have a conversation with Alistair Begg breaks your heart. He's smart. He's likable. And that voice, he's an excellent radio talk show host. He's just a real bad theologian. He doesn't understand the books of Moses at all, nor does he understand the rest of Scripture. And you are going to hear a demonstration of that. Dennis Prager, an Orthodox Jew, he clings to the law because he thinks he's been able to keep it. Furthermore, he compares himself to other people. And when we do that, we'll win every time. I'm better than, well, just looking around, Tony and Joey. That's a no-brainer.
I'm not arguing.
Dennis Prager, he compares himself to the Dachau guard who exterminated Jewish people. That's not the standard. The standard that God uses to judge is perfection, that we are to be holy the way that he is holy. 1 Peter 1, I believe it's verse 16, talks about that. Be holy, for I am holy. Did Peter make that up? No, he, as a Jewish man, knew his Old Testament, and so he, for instance, knew Leviticus 11:44, for I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Verse 45, for I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. You could turn to Leviticus 19:2. Be holy, for we get the point. Chapter 20, verse 7. The concept is replete throughout the New and the Old Testaments.
God does not expect us to be perfect. I have never in my life encountered that conception in anywhere in the Old Testament.
Huh.
I don't know. I know where Paul claims it from,
Peter,
because in Deuteronomy there is a verse, those who were cursed who do not follow these laws, but it has to do with the laws of the previous 10 verses.
I suspect he's in Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and curses section. I'll let him deal with that if he wants to justify his understanding, but then he's got to deal with the repeated texts in Leviticus that God expects perfection.
He took that to mean cursed is anyone who violates any rule in the Torah. What kind of God is that? He gives you a rule book. He knows we are flawed. And sends us to hell for being flawed. That's not the God I believe in.
Well, we don't either, silly rabbit. He will do that, but he is rich in mercy. That's the whole point of Jesus Christ. Yes, God sends sinners to hell. Yes, he receives little glory for doing that, but that's not his delight. He desires that all men would come to the knowledge of the truth. God desires that people would repent and put their trust in his Son. God has offered a means of escape. Dennis, however, he clings to I'm going to be good. And I am going to do good. And I am going to make it there all by myself. Thank you very much. The conversation hosted by Hugh Hewitt, it moved from Jesus into the subject of Jesus. Never got away from that subject, and I couldn't be happier.
Alistair, where do you find most of your Christological references in the Torah or the Old Testament? Only in the prophets?
No, I mean right from the very beginning, in what theologians would refer to as the proto-euangelion, the prototype of the gospel, where the word is concerning the serpent, that the seed of the woman, that you will bruise his heel and he will crush your head.
The gospel, where is it? It's not just in the prophets. It's all over the books of Moses, the sacrificial system, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It was pointing to what? Dennis, what was the point of all of that? If that had no purpose or point, clearly it couldn't have had any efficacious nature to it because you don't have it anymore. What was the point of all of it? It couldn't forgive sins. You're right. It only covered Yom Kippur. It's the Day of Atonement, the Day of Covering. It's not the Day of Forgiveness. It's the Day of Covering. Those lamb sacrifices couldn't forgive sins. We needed the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. If those had no ability to accomplish anything good, then what was their point? They pointed the Jewish people toward their need for a spotless, unblemished lamb. The festivals pointed to Jesus. The Sabbath pointed to Jesus. The ark pointed to Jesus. The door on that big bone pointed to Jesus. The tabernacle pointed to Jesus. The furniture in the tabernacle. The showbread. He is the bread of life. He was the menorah, the light of the world. Jesus Christ was the water in the basin for purification. He was the curtain that was torn in two. He's the altar. He's the blood on the altar. He's the sacrifice. Jesus is all, and he came and tabernacled among us. It was a fuzzy picture of the technicolor reality of Jesus Christ living with his people. Jesus is all over the Old Testament. He's the bronze serpent in the wilderness. He is the living water that flowed from the rock. Who's the rock? The rock is Christ. He's the better everything, the better Melchizedek, the better prophet, priest, king. Jesus Christ foreshadowed in every sacrifice, in every office, in people like Joseph and Solomon. He's the greater David. Did Jesus show up in Matthew like, well, this is a bit of a surprise? No, Jesus is all over the Old Testament.
If you think about the way in which an Old Testament believer would, if somebody had asked him, give me your testimony, you know, he would have said, well, we lived in a land under bondage, and a mediator came, and the mediator led us out. We sheltered under the shed blood of the Passover, and he led us towards our own land and our own place. We are not there yet, but we will be there. That would be the way that somebody would explain their faith to you, which actually sounds very, very much like the way a Christian would explain it.
Yeah.
We lived in bondage. A mediator came. We found our refuge in the shedding of the blood. We're beginning to move towards a new country. We're not there yet. It's not finished. Hence, the lion has not laid down with the lamb. The pieces in the puzzle have not all been brought to fruition.
There's another picture of the gospel in the Old Testament. Jesus is all over the Old Testament. Alistair Begg, I got to tell you, I've always liked Alistair Begg. Oh, he just increased after this dogged, persistent, tenacious defense of Jesus Christ.
All of the statements that are made in the context of the atonement have to be taken in companionship with each other. So, for example, Jesus is saying, no one takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. So, in other words, he is not being coerced into something that was not intended. It is the cry of alienation, which is, as I say, was on account of the fact that he was entering into something that he had never before experienced. The issue of our lives is that we are alienated from God on two counts. One, on God's side, because of his holiness and his wrath against sin. And then on our side, on account of our rebellion against God and the fact that we are lawbreakers and sinners. Therefore, in the atonement, both the wrath of God and the love of God have somehow or another to be expressed and satisfied. If God did not punish sin, then he wouldn't be true to himself and justice would not be served. If God did not provide in himself the answer to that, then his love would have been impaired. So it is in that moment when Jesus realizes, I'm entering into this experience of alienation, the natural recoil is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the answer, of course, is, I have forsaken you because that's what we agreed on.
Because that was his preordained plan. Over and over again, Alistair Begg returning to the gospel. It was a magnificent defense of Jesus Christ. Not that he needs our defending. And yet, Dennis Prager, he clung to what? He clung to himself, to his own goodness. The gospel is a stumbling block. The gospel stubs Dennis Prager's toes, and he's wearing steel boots. He'll have none of it. This cross, this Messiah that you're describing says, I'm not good, and I think I am. Dennis Prager, does he need our prayers? Yep. Does Dennis Prager need to keep hearing the word? Yep, but Dennis Prager clearly needs God to intervene and regenerate his heart and give him eyes to see and ears to hear. Pray for Dennis. This is Wretched Radio on American Family Radio. If you think this first statistic from Dan Steiner of preborn.org is bad, wait till you hear the second stat.
Statistically, about 42% of the time, the man is the instigator of the abortion. He's the one that's pushing the girl to do it. Another 48% of the time, it's the mother.
That's just terrific. Women in crisis being pressured by loved ones, parents, to get an abortion and take the life of their own child. The battle for life, it is very intense, and it is a formidable enemy when you've got parents encouraging children to take the life of their child. How can we possibly stem the tide of abortion? Ultrasounds, $28. 80% of the time, a woman sees an image of her own child. She keeps that child. $28. How many ultrasounds could you support at preborn.org/wretched?
Filing your taxes. It's difficult, but you have to do it. Studying for finals. Difficult, but you have to do it. Having to clean out your gutters. Very difficult, but you still have to do it. Some of us find sharing our faith difficult, especially with our atheist or agnostic friends, but we have been commanded to do it. Our latest evangelistic booklet, What Time Is Purple, is perfect for the atheist or agnostic in your life who's been persuaded by evolutionary theory. And here's the good news. We want to give you up to 20 copies with just two tiny strings. You pay for the shipping, and you promise to give each copy away. Doesn't get much better than that. Order your copies now at wretched.org/purple. But wait, there's more. We will ship copies of What Time Is Purple to campus ministries or evangelists at absolutely no cost. All you have to do is email Jennifer Pepling at jennifer@gospelpartnersmedia.org. jennifer@gospelpartnersmedia.org. No more excuses. Let's share the gospel.
What do these two Bible verses have in common? If one part of the body of Christ suffers, all parts suffer with it. That would be your 1 Corinthians 12:26, Rexella. This is Hebrews 13:3. Remember those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. We are in a great international invisible body known as the Church of Jesus Christ, the true believers, followers of our Savior. We are in a body together, and right now, millions in the body are suffering persecution for the sake of Jesus Christ, and they are praying right now, not for alleviation of suffering, but for a Bible. Would you please consider sending as many Bibles as you can to the persecuted church through Bible League International at wretched.org/Bible.
Important dates in Christian history. 1206. Francis of Assisi renounces wealth and goes on to lead a band of poor friars preaching the simple life. The 13th century saw the rise of a number of monastic orders dedicated to simple living and social engagement. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yeah, if you'll excuse me for a moment, I just need to do some Googling to figure out when Dennis Prager became a postmodern. This is Wretched Radio. Just an absolutely fascinating hour and a half. Dennis Prager, Alistair Begg, having a conversation. It was called Ask a Jew, Ask a Christian. It was moderated by Hugh Hewitt, and it was da bomb diggity. Dennis Prager clinging to his good works, Alistair Begg proclaiming Jesus Christ, and repeatedly, honestly, Dennis sounded kind of postmodern-y. Look, it just doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're good. I'd think that he'd probably reject postmodernism on many, many fronts, but he sure did sound like it, at least to some degree. Furthermore, what you're about to hear is Dennis Prager's closing statement. He's getting pretty close to getting agitated.
The number of people who 100% agree with you and accept Christ as their Savior and have the opposite values that you in this room have is not small.
Now, I think his point is, really? Really? What about all these nice people out there? How could God possibly condemn them? Well, he could read Psalm 19. God is preaching to them every day, every single second. I exist. These are my attributes, and yet they do not hear. Dennis's argument, if God saves one, if God saves none, that doesn't mean that Jesus Christ isn't his son. Wow. That could be a Hillsong. No, that has too much to do with Jesus. Yeah, forget that.
No.
Belief in Christ doesn't guarantee anything.
Wow.
Belief in Judaism doesn't guarantee anything.
Huh?
I wish that everybody who believed in God, everybody who believed in Christ, followed basic. We could differ on all sorts of things, but basic rules set forth in this great document known as the Bible.
What is the purpose of the Bible? You heard Alistair Begg earlier saying it's about Christ. That's what it's about. It's not about morality. It's not a rule book for living. Dennis Prager is stuck on that because he realizes if he can't keep the rules to a satisfactory level, then he's going to be in trouble and he's going to have to humble himself. And that's really the key issue here, humility, seeing your need for a Savior, which, interestingly, is the very purpose of the laws that Dennis loves like a nobody's business and thinks that he is keeping.
Even that doesn't hold. So our battle, your battle is greater than bringing people to Christ. They come to Christ and then what? You don't know the then what.
Yeah, you disciple them and you use theology to teach them and instruct them and preach to them, rebuke them, exhort them, huh?
I wish the day is so good in America where we could just talk theology. That would be great. I'll listen.
I didn't think he was into theology, but nevertheless.
To Haydn in the morning, talk theology in the afternoon, and be with my wife in the evening. I can't think of a better life. But until then, I'm watching the greatest experiment on earth, the last best hope of mankind, get devoured by forces that hate both of us.
That's a mingling of patriotism and Judaism. If people would just behave better in this country, we'd be better off. The country's going down the tubes because we don't apply the Ten Commandments. That's what his book was about. I'm paraphrasing, but it was basically, if America would just follow the Ten Commandments, we'd be a great nation again. Here's the problem. We can't keep the Ten Commandments. Do we need more evidence of it? That was the closing comments of one Dennis Prager. Alistair Begg. Go ahead. Put your chips on the table. Guess what Alistair Begg is going to close with?
If you take your eyes off Jesus, surprise, you lose your way around the Bible.
Bingo. You turn the Bible into origami. You just twist it and mangle it to whatever you would like. If you have your northern point set on Jesus Christ, well, then you can navigate your way around without him and understanding that this book that Moses and the prophets, they spoke about me, well, then you'll become a moralist like Dennis Prager.
The Bible is actually, and incidentally, if you refuse to read the Bible, you can't understand history. You can't understand the history of the world. That's why secular historians manifoldly miss the point again and again because they refuse to accept either the doctrine of creation or the fall of man or whatever else it is. So in the Old Testament, he is predicted. In the Gospels, he's revealed. In the Acts, he's preached. In the Epistles, he's explained. And in the Book of Revelation, he's expected. The entire framework, the good, the bad, the new, the perfect. And that perfection awaits us when a new Jerusalem will come out, down out of heaven from God as a bride prepared for her husband. And all who are gathered, completed Jews, converted Gentiles, brought into the blessings of the covenant that were promised to Abraham, a united company, not united by their political agenda, but united by their humble trust in the provision of God for men and women who will simply acknowledge themselves to be sinful and in need of a Savior.
Alistair Begg, he's a pastor, he's a preacher, but he's an evangelist, and he showed it in this presentation with Dennis Prager and Hugh Hewitt. Interestingly enough, I don't know where Hugh is at these days. He calls himself a Catholic Presbyterian. Probably offending both denominations.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out how you jerry-rigged that together.
Well, Hugh's a smart guy, and somehow he's figured out a way to make that work, I guess. Nevertheless, Dennis Prager, I wish you could see the video, but you can't because this is radio. Hugh is on one side, Alistair on the other side, Dennis is in the middle. Hugh Hewitt, when he was talking to Dennis, would talk to Dennis. When he was talking to Alistair, he talked to Alistair. Dennis Prager sat and looked straight out. He did not look happy at all. Was Alistair Begg being obnoxious? No, he wasn't. He was truthing in love. He was speaking the truth in love. And because of his persistence, his returning, constantly making the issue between Jew and Gentile, the Lord Jesus Christ, I think it was making Dennis a little bit cranky. What can we learn from all of this? Oh, there is much to be learned, starting with the demeanor of Alistair Begg. If you can't persuade somebody that you are loving even while you tell them hard things, then you shouldn't be engaging with them. If you can't speak truth in love, you shouldn't do either. I think Alistair Begg accomplished that quite nicely. Nobody watching that would go, "That Scottish preacher sure hated the Jewish fella." Wouldn't get that for a second. Second lesson from Alistair Begg. Jesus, Jesus, make it about Jesus. I don't think we played all of it, but at some point in this, he was talking about the resurrection and the importance of the resurrection of the Messiah. And that if he didn't rise from the dead, and that the resurrection is this historical event that actually took place, and the necessity of the resurrection. I won't throw you under the bus. I'll throw myself. I tend to forget the resurrection. It's a big deal. And Alistair made a point of it. we should too. He talked about our failure to keep the laws. He talked about our need for a Savior. So he was doing what Paul recommends that we all do, use the law of God to bring about the knowledge of sin. He had not known sin but by the law. It was the law that crushed him. It killed him, that he might be brought back to life by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the use of the law. Alistair Begg used it. Now, this is worthy of note. Did he say, would you consider yourself to be a good person? Well, that came out loud and clear. Did he say, have you ever? No, he didn't do that. But did he not utilize the law and repeatedly state we're lawbreakers? Yeah, he did. We should do the same, opening up the law, dwelling on the law, spending probably more time on the law and the holiness of God than we do on the good news, because the good news is only good if you spend a lot of time on the bad. What did we learn from Dennis Prager? Nice men, likable fellows, can be self-righteous. He doesn't believe that he needs healing, and the great physician is going to pass him by until he realizes his sickness. He's the Pharisee in the temple. I'm so glad I'm not like that fellow. Hoofta. By the way, be careful on that, because the very second that you say, I'm so glad I'm not like Dennis Prager, that Pharisee, you have not learned the lesson of that story, because that would make us pride-filled too. That's what Dennis is. Like him a ton, but he's filled with self-righteousness. He just puts it out on display more than most people do. Nevertheless, God can save a self-righteous Jew like Saul. I'm sorry. I meant like Dennis Prager. If God can save Saul, who was even a better Jew, who realized his need for a Savior because he understood the law doesn't save, it merely leads us to the Savior. If God can save Saul, who became Paul, he can certainly save Dennis. This is Hour One of Wretched Radio on American Family Radio.